This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a morning. Fan hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real life magic for guests. Duncan. We love Duncan. Duncan's the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Brad Spielberger, he joins right now. He's the official Bears fan of the Fan Morning Show, Pro Football Focus. Hello, Brad. How you doing?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
How you sounded? What's going on with you? No energy. What's up?
Me? Well, I will tell you. I'm actually in Denver, Colorado, so it is 6 a.m., but I got some energy. I just got to tap in a little bit.
All right. Okay. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Hey, you know, I watched some offense, and I tweeted about this. I went back. I had a little time yesterday, a couple hours. My kids are involved in 9 million activities, so all I do is sit in the car and wait for them to come out. So I was looking. It's true. So I went back, was watching a bunch of old Steelers stuff. I think they might have another win or maybe two if Pickett would have started all season. Did they err by not just throwing him the reins and saying, you're our guy from the very beginning? Is that a fair take or not?
I think he is a better player. You know, we obviously don't know behind the scenes what he learned and maybe the coverage he saw in practice and things they threw at him that got him prepared for these games when defenses were going to kind of throw the full kitchen sink at him. So I would probably agree with you. You know, I'm obviously not the biggest Mitchell Trubisky supporter, but I don't know if we know what he was able to gain in that first month sitting on the bench.
Brad, obviously the Steelers are playing the Baltimore Ravens this week, and Lamar Jackson is probably out, so Tyler Huntley will be the quarterback. If you were a betting man, who would you put your money on? Kenny Pickett having a good game this weekend, or Tyler Huntley, the backup for the Ravens, having a good game?
I mean, Huntley is, I think, one of the better backups in the NFL. In particular, he's just so good for Baltimore because he's as close as you're going to get to a backup quarterback to Lamar Jackson playing a similar style. But he's obviously not Lamar Jackson, and I think something we've talked about forever on this show is the Steelers have a good run defense now. They're top half of the NFL in EPA per rush allowed, top 10 in success rate on the ground. Obviously, Atlanta did some things, but that's one of the best running offenses in the NFL. So if you can limit their run game, in particular the running backs, but also Tyler Huntley as well, and get them in kind of third and long situations, then I would definitely, you know, think Kenny Pickett has the better outcome in this matchup this weekend.
Where do you feel Najee Harris is at right now, Brad, at least on the continuum of getting back to where he was a year ago, a fourth leading rusher in the league?
Yeah, he's definitely playing some better football, stacking some good weeks now. I think, obviously, you know, the offensive line's been playing better up front as well, creating some room for him. And also, I think it does come back to Pickett, where in the beginning there, he was throwing it downfield. Then he stopped and was kind of only throwing underneath. And, of course, part of that's Matt Canada. But I think defenses were compressing and really, you know, loaded box counts and not really accounting for downfield passing. Now that we're back to, you know, Pickens over the top, obviously he wants more targets. You know, you have Pat Freiermuth, a real contributor for the last month or so. It forces defense to account for that, and they can't just sit in and stop the run. And now I think we're seeing Najee productive as he was last year.
What are you seeing out of George Pickens? I mean, we all saw him freak out on the sideline, just two targets in the game on Sunday. Is he open, Brad?
When I watch him, he certainly is. Yeah, I think he creates a ton of separation. I think he has still kind of a limited route tree so far, whether that's because of him or the coaching staff or whatever, I don't know. But, you know, it is a lot of downfield stuff. So maybe even though he is, you know, open by a step or two, maybe Pickett doesn't trust it quite enough yet or thinks there's probably safety help over the top and doesn't want to, you know, turn the ball over as he did early on in his career. Obviously, this season has kind of limited that going forward now. whatever the case may be, I'm not entirely sure. But when I watch George Pickens, especially you go back and watch the All-22, he's getting open pretty much every snap.
So, and by the way, Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. So is it borderline criminal he was targeted twice last game?
Sometimes it just happens that way, you know, and you have A.J. Terrell in Atlanta, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. When I watched, he wasn't trailing him, but he was on him a ton. You know, he was more a focal point on Pickens than he was on Deontay Johnson. And there are corners like him in this league that you might as well just avoid if you have other weapons. And Freiermuth had a great game, was getting a lot of yards after the catch. You know, Deontay Johnson, a ton of targets, maybe didn't have as much production as you'd like, but you know, sometimes you don't want to take those risks, and if you don't have to because you're up in the game and other guys are getting open, it's tough for that player. I get their frustration, but avoiding a turnover and giving Atlanta life was the correct priority at that time.
Brad, this offensive line has really turned a corner. You know, they're obviously playing at a high level in the run game and in the passing game. I don't think they gave up a sack last game. They obviously played very well, like I said, in the run game. But who's that one guy that you pay attention to that's like, hey, that's the anchor of the Steelers' offensive line? Who has played the best thus far, in your opinion?
I think it's probably the new guy. And another, you know, Chicago transfer in James Daniels. I don't know if he was spectacular this past week, but I think he's brought a new life to this offense. He's a very, very athletic guy. He came over as a 24-year-old after playing a full rookie contract in Chicago. And so I think they didn't get to see his full growth potential as a 20-year-old rookie coming in a little bit. You know, he needed to put some body weight and some strength on, always had the ability to move in zone and get out to the second level and make blocks. But now we're seeing the combination of his athleticism in space and his anchor and core strength as a run blocker and a pass protector. You know, I think we're seeing growth from Dan Moore Jr. at left tackle and all that, but I really think bringing him in kind of, you know, boosted the entire offensive line overall.
Well, we've been caught up, Brad, and I'm guilty of it as much as anybody, in focusing on, well, they got to get offensive line, especially three picks in the top 45 or 50 in next year's draft. How much of a priority does that need to be for them, especially having the luxury of three draft picks in the first 45 or 50, knowing that there are also holes, maybe an inside back or a corner?
Yeah, you know, I think it's good now that Dotson, I think, is also playing good football, so maybe you feel confident about your interior. And as good as Moore has played the last couple of weeks, yes, you just paid Chuck Sikora for, but I would still be looking at tackle, maybe with that Chicago Bears pick in the early second. If a tackle falls there, it was, you know, interesting this past week, some of the top tackle prospects decided to go back to college, you know, which changes things up in the first round, you know, for Chicago and other teams that are maybe looking to add a tackle early. But yeah, I still think you can never have too many quality tackles. Neither guy, Moore or Okorafor, I think are true difference-making players, nor are they, you know, under contract that you probably couldn't get out of in 2024 if you wanted to. So, yeah, maybe it's no longer a first-round priority, but I would not avoid it at all, you know, after that.
Brad, you probably don't have this percentage in front of you, but give me a guesstimate right now. Around the whole entire NFL, what's the percentage rate, successful percentage rate of jet sweeps being executed?
Well, I will say that the Steelers are testing those limits more than anyone. Yeah, that is for sure. I think the interesting thing there is when you actually deploy it. I think using it on like a first and 10 and early in a down, or early in a series, excuse me, is not the way to go about it. I think when you bust it out of maybe a second and short instead of a shot play, or a second and intermediate, kind of second and five range, when a team thinks, again, you're probably going to throw the ball, I think it makes more sense there. On first and 10, I don't know. I don't remember the last time I saw it actually convert a first down. I feel like it gets you 4 or 5 yards, but isn't actually a good first play to stay ahead of the chains and kind of get a drive rolling. So my guess would be, I don't know, 35%.
Well, the Steelers love it on 3rd and 17 to Gunnar Olszewski after they ran the football in the middle of the line for nothing on the first two downs, generally.
That I would advise against. That I would certainly advise against. As much as I love Gunnar Olszewski and his, you know, his big lips he packs in the locker room after every game and gets Chase Claypool in trouble, I don't think that's the play call you're looking for on 3rd and 17.
Last thing for you: where's Baker Mayfield end up? Will he ever play an NFL game again? And what's the whole lowdown here?
I will guess that San Francisco will try and bring him in. So they have 24th or 25th waiver priority. So obviously they need other teams to pass on him, but I would imagine most teams do. And I think the plan here is, look, I played with Kevin Stefanski in a similar, you know, outside zone, very simple play-action offense for the quarterback. That is simple, not in terms of knowing the playbook, but simple in terms of get the ball to your playmakers, you know, 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and stop trying to do too much. So I think there might be some degree of interest there between San Francisco and Baker Mayfield. So I'll throw that in as the guess.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Brad. Enjoy your vacation, your work, your trip, whatever you're doing in Denver. The higher you go, the higher you get. You'll have a fun time.
That's the truth. Thank you, guys.
There you are, my man. Check out our Twitter poll. Go back and see that. Brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com and Twitter all the time. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Jet sweeps. You love jet sweeps.
Oh, my gosh.
The thing is, you know what? When Matt Canada was at Pitt, because of the fullback and how he used it. What was that big lug's name from Maryland? He's from Maryland, right?
Yeah. George Aston.
He used that. He was so good. And the way he played and kind of would settle in just between the guard and the tackle on some of those and act as another sort of almost like a pulling guard and would smash people. Mm-hmm. They worked a lot at Pitt. He used them in tight spaces, too, the jet sweeps, and where you only had to get 2 or 3 yards.
And it also was somewhat new, and you're facing D coordinators that, I mean, they're really good D coordinators in college football, but, you know, you can catch them off guard a little bit. And when you get to the NFL, it's like, all right, we'll just slide over a spot.
Second
like,
and seven in the middle of the field. Yeah, I don't need you stretching horizontally. Well, let your quarterback stretch vertically.
I also think the foot speed to the edge of that Quadri Henderson had vis the people he was playing against is much different than Gunnar Olszewski and Sims and the people they're playing against.
Right, yes.
That made so much of a difference. Like, the offense and the construction, Quadri Henderson just beat people to a spot.
Right, and the guys were slower. I mean, now you're not beating anybody to a spot. I don't care how fast you are. I mean, if you're Tyreek Hill, you're still, you know, you're one of the fastest guys in the league, but you're still humping it, so.
I think, you know, with all of that, with Matt Canada in that year that was he was here, and it was Quadri Henderson, if I'm not mistaken, that people forget just how fast of a football player he was.
No, he was unbelievable football player. I mean, as a returner, to him, he was an All-American returner. You know, he was good.
He was just a blazer, and it really helped. I don't want to say there were bad play calls. There were okay play calls, whatever they were. He made up for a lot of stuff with his speed just by being faster than the dude chasing him.
Right, and you had a guy like that. You feared him because of his speed, like you're saying. And if he did fake the motion, then the lanes for James Conner were so open, and then you had, you know, Orndorff and doing the shovel pass and stuff. It opened everything up whenever you have a guy that's so athletic like that.
The big Orndorff.
Yep.
Man. Was he the one that went to Seton LaSalle?
Yes.
But he lived in, like, way far away. I think I read a story one time that his dad or his mom or somebody like worked at the casino, and they lived like in like Washington, PA or something.
Oh, really?
So they would drop him off for school
and then go to work.
He'd go to work and then pick him up on the way home, and they live like on the other side of like Shar Houston's.
Oh, jeez.
They live like way down there, but it fit because they were just on their way, and they drop him off and then pick him up.
He's a police officer in West Allegheny, though.
The Orndorff.
Yes.
Okay, Orndorff pulls you over for speeding. 5 miles over the limit. Gives you a ticket or not?
No. But he'll want to. He'll mess with me for sure.
There we are.
He'll probably sit in the car for like 20 minutes and just like sit behind me and I'll be sweating.
He's a police officer.
Yes.
The Orndorff is.
Yep. Big dog.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up next, somebody covers high school sports in these parts. And they tweeted something last night that they'd never, ever, ever seen before. And I got to probably agree with them. What would you do in this situation? Would you say, game over, it's called, we're going home? Or would you continue on and grit through it? Let's talk about that coming up next. And one big rule came into play in last night's game as Tom Brady mounted a gigantic comeback, and we dive into that as well. And don't forget Shelby Cassese this hour. Morning After, well, that's not today. That's the wrong read. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly, and I remind you that your body might hurt right now, and that's no fun. QC Kinetics is there to help you out all the time. Got that joint pain? Oh, man, hips, shoulders, elbows, all of it? Well, QC Kinetics wants to help you out. Everything can be treated with natural biologics from your own body. Powerful healing agents, highly concentrated. If you're tired of steroid shots that don't work, or if you're trying to avoid surgery, call QC Kinetics right now
to schedule your free consultation. Learn about exciting new cutting-edge treatments for pain caused by arthritis and injury. No drugs, no pain meds, no downtime, no surgery, none of that. It's just healing power from your own body. 724-201-4230. That's 724-201-4230. Two great locations, Robinson and in Cranberry. That's QC Kinetics.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, there is a school, a high school, many of you probably haven't heard of. It's called Aquinas Academy. Now, I know of it because it's quite literally probably a 1.25 mile, a mile and a quarter from my house. So it's a minute from my house, 2 minutes from my house. And I drive by there a few times a day. It's right around the corner from my house. Now, they have a basketball player. This kid, Vinny Cugini, C-U-G-I-N-I, he has scored a gazillion points. And their basketball coach is Georgios Ioannidis, who you may know, he had a very, I think his son is Mickey Ioannidis, who's the receivers coach at Navy.
Okay.
The Naval Academy. And Mickey was a really good athlete, right? So, and he was, and this guy was at Vincentian before and stuff. Anyway, they have this basketball player that's throwing in a million points. But he plays at a very small, obscure school, right? But I think he is at like on the cusp of becoming like the WPIL's all-time leading scorer around here. But some people are like, well, it wasn't like a WPIL school the whole time, and also it's very small, does it count, whatever. What I'm getting at is this. Brad Everett, who writes for the Post-Gazette, is someone that went out, and he's like, I've never been there. There's only 17 boys in the senior class of this school. I'm going to go out and watch this kid play and do a story on him. And he did this last night. So I see that Brad tweets this. And I don't know if you guys know Brad. He's awesome guy.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable,
yes.
Dude.
Yep.
So he goes out and he's sitting there and he's filming some of this. Now, he didn't get this part. But he tweeted about a couple minutes into the game. Here's his direct tweet. Can't say I've ever seen this in person before. A player just puked several times right on the court. Kid seems okay now. Several puddles need cleaned up, though.
Oh.
Hashtag not hit.
They followed it up, too, with the photo of the cleanup in progress, right?
He follows it up. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 adults on the floor with various towels, buckets, implements,
sawdust.
Yeah. Yes, and they're cleaning it up as people are sitting by. And if you zoom in the picture, there's one kid sitting by the scores table, and he has a big thing of water. I don't know, and there's a ref that looks like Caboli. there is in the background. I don't know if this is the kid that puked or not. There's a lot of different angles we need to attack this from. First of all, I've never seen this before. Mm-mm. I was at a Central game one time, and a guy two rows behind me, and the row in between was unoccupied, puked right in between his feet, and some of it bounced and got on my shirt, on the back of my shirt. Luckily, I had a T-shirt under. I just took it off and left it there at Chuck Crummy Memorial Gymnasium and left it there. I just left it and moved seats. Anyway, if you're the kid that puked, and I don't know what team he played on, can you just puke and rally? Can you continue and play in that game? Yes or no?
Yes, yeah. I think you can.
You can?
You gotta get, was it dirt? So how long into the game was it? Do we know that?
Early on, yeah.
Because that could have been nerves. I had a teammate in high school who would puke before every single game.
But football, it just went in the grass.
Yeah, it had to be right after the game. Brad tweeted it at 7:10. I presume the game started at 7.
Yes.
Most high school basketball games starting around 7 o'clock.
Can you just carry on? Like, all right, I'm good. Can you tell the ref I'm good?
Me? No. An athlete? Yes. I think you could. You always know, like, when you're in school and you walk around a corner and you see the sawdust there, something happened.
Yeah, you knew it.
Take a different hallway.
No good.
So if, and then that's the first level. The second level, if you're the coach and a kid pukes, you and he's like, coach, I'm good. Do you feel okay in this day and age that's all lawsuit heavy, allowing a kid to stay in there?
See, I don't know, because like the flu, obviously COVID.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things going on that, you know, it's like, all right, should you sit out and go get checked up? I don't know. I mean, he did puke a couple times, not just like one little, and then that's
right,
it.
Right, he made it. He,
this wasn't Lawrence Timmons at the start of the football game.
Nah, yeah.
He got his money's worth, right. So, man. And then more layers. Let's say you come, you're guarding the kid the rest of the game if he pukes and rallies
he's
and he's
getting
out
an
there.
Extra 2 feet.
Right, I'm going zone.
See, the thing with me is if I see somebody puke, I might puke. So if I'm guarding the guy and I like smell his breath or something, I might throw up. I might throw up. Right
I'd
there.
Use that as a weapon against you.
My man still got terrible. 40 though. That Kajini
kid,
40
after
not the puke kid,
not the puke,
not the puke. It's not been reported whether the puke kid even went back in the game. We don't know if he went back in the game or not. The kid that Brad Everett went to see got 40.
Okay.
So.
I think you could go back in.
And then if you're a fan, what are you thinking? What?
A tiny little gym there.
It's going to smell.
It's definitely going to stink.
And it's going to be warm in the gym. You just know it.
It's going to smell like a garbage dump in there.
The air is.
It's real pungent. Puke
ripe,
is, too.
Thick ripe. With puke smell.
Yes.
That is the most distinct smell. It doesn't matter what you eat. Puke smells like puke.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's no good. Oh. I puke. Would I? One time my dog ate cat poop and then puked out the cat poop door, and I puked too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole sick. Time.
Nasty. Man. But anyway, I've never seen that on a basketball floor. Football field? Yes. Basketball floor?
And
no.
Multiple times, though, too.
Yeah. Yes. That's what would have me worried. See, yeah. Something more was afoot than just nerves.
Normally, the football field is all water puke.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right. But now with the field turf.
Yeah.
You got to scoop it up with a shovel.
Did you ever do the whole, if you've not done it, you've seen it. Did you ever get the managers around to hold towels up and pee right on the sideline?
Oh, all the time.
There you go. That's a great
Gatorade
move.
Gatorade bottles.
That is a great move.
In the Gatorade bottles, for
uh-huh.
sure. For sure. All the time.
Yes. Stand. Try to stand
to pee
over.
I used to myself sometimes.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, when I was younger.
Wait, stay there. What?
If you're already all sweaty, yeah.
Yeah, and we had like silver pants, so you couldn't really see the
and if
the
you're
wetness.
That dehydrated, like if
really?
You drank yeah. that much and your pee is just water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still pee, though.
It's just clear pee.
It is clear. We used to do it on the crew boat. You just stand up. Like before the start of a race, you'd stand up, drop trowel, and go right there. But I can't imagine ever willingly peeing myself.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
No.
Yeah. A good move on the about. Football sideline, too, is get the managers to like surround you with a couple towels, and you find the drain.
Yeah,
like
right there.
Right there, and yep. you just kind of let it, you
one
know.
Stop shop.
See, the nice thing at Pitt with the Heinz Field, Acrisure / Heinz Field. You know,
yes, there you are.
That, it's right there. It's right behind the bench. The bathroom is. It's like right down the steps, and it's right in the.
Yeah, you don't have to go that route.
Don't have to go that route then, but other stadiums you do.
Could you imagine being the janitor or just a parent or whatever? Like, hey, kid puked. You got to get out. Well, I'm not here. I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, like, I'm not scooping up puke.
I know. What? Tell a kid to hold it. Anyway, Tom Brady. Tom Brady, something happened with Tom Brady late in a football game last night. Man, he showed his magic. I mean, he only scored, 16 points it was. But he showed his magic, had an unbelievable comeback. They come back from 16-3. They were down 16-3, ended up winning the football game 17-16 or whatever it was. Unbelievable comeback with 3 minutes left. But was he aided by something, or is that just part of the rules and you live by it and you're totally fine with it? We dive into that coming up next here, Fan Morning Show.
I'll tell you what's not due for a big comeback. It could be your roof. Time to get with PJ Fitzpatrick, especially with winter getting ready to settle in. Go to trustpj.com today. Great tip for the holidays. Find out why quality is the one word you should associate with PJ Fitzpatrick. Thousands of five-star reviews right there, trustpj.com. Plus their famous lifetime guarantee on materials and labor. Experienced roofing professionals doing all of the installations with just the best material, including, how about this? They get a great deal to keep their crews working through the winter right now. You can save thousands on a premium shingle roof from CertainTeed with great financing, too. Nothing down, no interest, no payments for a whole year. Again, trustpj.com is where you go. My experience with PJ Fitzpatrick, fantastic. They come out, they stay in touch with you the whole time, let you know exactly what's going on with the job. And again, the quality, impeccable. And in my case, and in the case of a lot of roofs, job done in just one day. Get it done now before, again, winter really starts to settle in. Visit TrustPJ.com right now to schedule your free design consultation.
Shelby Cassese, this It's Different in just a few minutes from right now. Tom Brady down 16-3. 3 minutes, 3 seconds left, found a way to win. Unbelievable. 44th career fourth quarter comeback, eclipses Peyton Manning now. He leads that stat, if that is an official stat. So they win. The Bucs do 17-16. They're 6-6. They beat the 4-9 Saints. The Bucs are now on top of that division. But again, they were down 16-3 with 3:03 left. And Brady found a way to win. The first touchdown pass came just after a big pass interference. Here's the call, ESPN.
That's a 44-yard penalty. Brady, end zone, touchdown, Bucs. Cade Otton.
All right, that's the call. Cade Otton caught the touchdown pass. Just before that, there was a big penalty. Let's talk about this because it's very, it's really intriguing and it's always a form of debate. It's 44 yards they gained by virtue of a pass interference call. Is it catch a sure bet? No. We just saw Tyler Boyd drop a ball. Is it a high probability? Absolutely. Sure is. Do we like the college rule or the pro rule better? I mean, you don't give somebody 44 yards. They earned it. They earned a penalty. It was like I always find it funny where they're like, a team is, well, this team, you know, they couldn't move the football. There were penalties. Well, maybe they were so good they made the other team commit a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, 44 yards, is it antiquated? Is it still fair? Is it not? Where are we here?
I don't think it's fair. I mean, you know, Crowley said this earlier. I could go with the egregious spot foul if it's impeding a guy of moving forward and running the route down the field. I could see that. But I'm more on the college side of it. You know, the 15-yard penalty. You get 15 yards, and then you could see what happens from there. Whenever you get 44 yards down the field, I mean, you're in almost scoring point range, and that changes the whole dynamics of every single game. I don't care who's at quarterback.
But if we're under the college rules last night, that's a blatant interference penalty. Mike Evans is going to catch that pass. He's on the one-yard line about to run into the end zone. The ball is coming his way. The Bucs only get 15 yards for that? I mean, what happened was the spot foul essentially put them on the one-yard line and they walked into the end zone. That's the way it should have been. They had lost a
there's no guarantee he catches the football.
Right, absolutely.
Like I said, we just saw Tyler Boyd drop a gimme.
Which is why we don't just give them the touchdown, right? We put them on the one-yard line in that case and say, hey, you still got to finish it off, okay? And that's why I think the spot foul does make sense, especially in the case of last night. I can't imagine being in that position. And if you're a corner, if you're a defensive back, once you're past 15 yards downfield, you're essentially free reign to just yank a guy down and not even worry about it because you know it's limited to 15 yards.
So, wait, do we know where the ball was at to start this drive or to start this play? Do we know?
Was it a 45-yard line,
wasn't it? So,
yeah.
I would say, so if you want to make a rule, I would say it's 15 yards, but if it is egregious, it's 15 to the it's to the 50. So say if you're on the 20, if you're on the minus 20, then you go to the 50. If you're on the plus 50, you go to the red zone, you go to the 20.
Mm.
Or it's just 15 yards.
So now, what if it happens then?
At the 23.
Right, or at the 30. Then and you throw it into the end zone.
Then it's 15 yards.
That's a lot of layers for me.
Yeah, it's too much. But I mean, I'm trying to look at other angles to make this a better rule than just almost 50 yards of
because
yard,
here's
yardage.
Here and here's another layer to this that I want to bring into the conversation, albeit a brief conversation. By the letter of the law, there's pass interference on every freaking Hail Mary that's ever been thrown in NFL history, and there's not been one flag ever.
So such a great point.
There's you watch every Hail Mary ever thrown, there is pass interference one way or the other.
Yes, push off.
And it's just like we're not throwing it in this situation.
Right, because it's a wash, right? We could call it on both sides probably four or five ways.
Yeah, but if you're calling it, you're calling it.
No, I get you.
I like the layer of if it's egregious and it stops a clear scoring opportunity, you make it a spot foul. And if a guy's feet get tangled up or there's hand fighting and it's not a clear scoring opportunity, I'd make it a 15-yard penalty. I've learned a lot watching soccer these last couple of days, my friends. And if there is a clear path to the goal and you slide and tackle a guy from behind, bang, yellow card, you get in trouble, real trouble. If you're in the open field and it's not quite a scoring opportunity, then yeah, it's a free kick, but there's no card.
The analogy I like even better is the idea of a penalty shot in hockey. If a guy's headed in on a breakaway and he's got a clear path to the goaltender, no one even or in front of him, and you pull him down from behind, bang, penalty shot. And the same idea, which is exactly what the Mike Evans situation was last night. If he catches that ball, which it's headed his way, he's in the end zone, touchdown. The guy hauls him down or tries to haul him down and knocks him off course. Okay, that's a spot foul.
It just it is striking to me. I'm not saying one's wrong and one's right, just going through them both, how much they both can change the entire course of a game, but how different the rules are in college and in pros. It's just like 1 foot and 2 feet down.
Right.
Same thing. How much each can really change the course of a game, especially late on a big play, and how non-universal the rules are.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially who's at quarterback, too. I mean, I think that goes into like I said earlier,
Joe Flacco made a career
right
out of this.
I'd love to ask a corner who's gone from the college level to the NFL level recently, like, how hard of an adjustment is that to go from knowing, hey, you're basically free and clear past 15 yards downfield to just yank a guy to the ground to now, no, that you could just cost your team a 44-yard penalty.
Shelby Cassesi, this hits different. That's coming up next, and it's brought to you by Urbanowitz Jewelers. This hits different. It's brought to you by Urbanowitz Jewelers. Shelby Cassesi, she joins. She's in a festive mood. You ready for Thursday night, Shelby?
I am. Are you guys?
Yeah.
Are you
absolutely.
Guys all going?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thorne, are you singing?
I am.
Oh.
With Crowley.
Wow.
I was recently.
I love this.
Those two can't do anything alone.
Nope. Bumped from our trio. It was going to be us three. And then Heather Abraham wants to sing a duet. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah, he's leaving us. See how that
they're
is.
Singing.
You went on to, I shouldn't say do a solo career, but
no,
you joined another band.
Yes.
I mean, I'll be honest, he upgraded.
Well,
fair. Are you singing?
Yeah. I'm trying to convince Zeiss to do a duet with me, but I may go solo.
Okay. Well, if you need someone, let me know.
Doran and Crowley here, Crockett and Tubbs, they're singing they're singing Ebony and Ivory. Did you know that?
I'd rather sing with Shelby. I might leave you.
Yeah. Please do.
That's fine.
Shelby, you should sing a duet with one of these fine fellows.
I'd love to.
You're
not
going to
do it
singer.
By myself.
Aren't you a pretty good singer?
I mean, no. I'm a great singer in the car by myself.
Were you ever in any stage performances?
Yes.
Oh,
here we
discuss.
Go.
My fifth and sixth grade play.
There you go.
It's very high resume stuff.
Okay, I've got to go to a choral concert tonight.
For your kids.
Yep. They took chorus, I think, because they didn't want to play an instrument and they didn't want to take music appreciation and have to write about Beethoven and Bach
right.
and stuff.
Smart
so chorus, I think, was the process of elimination.
Yeah,
that they
I think
took.
That's fair. I do that.
But they have three performances a year.
That's a lot.
I know. I think they
normally
thought it was just
normally it's like Christmas
one,
concert
right?
and call it a day, right?
Yeah.
So I'm there tonight. Can't wait. I remember last year I went and it's chorus and band and the band broke into at one point. Anyway,
on brand.
Yes, this hits different. North Allegheny, tell us about it.
This is a really cool story. I covered the start of the girls wrestling program at NA a few years ago when I was over at KDK TV, and their coach reached out to me, and they're still working to get the program off the ground. They have, you know, a handful of girls now. The program's getting better and better, but they have these try-it nights where they invite girls from other teams in the school to come meet the wrestling program, try it out. This was the cheerleading squad, and this one was a little bit special because they had a really cool guest speaker come in, and it really boiled down to, you know, talking about how even though these are two really different programs and the girls may feel they're really different, there's actually not a lot of differences between them.
Crowley?
Sharing the stories of remarkable young people in Western Pennsylvania, this is This Hits Different on 93.7 The Fan.
Wrestling and cheerleading, not exactly known to have a lot in common. But as the girls' wrestling team and cheer squad at North Allegheny found, they may be more alike than they thought.
Some people just think that cheerleading like isn't a sport and we don't work hard for it, but we really do.
Junior Emma Flanders was one of several cheerleaders to participate in Try It Night, an event where girls from other school teams meet the girls' wrestling team and learn the basics. The girls' wrestling program is only a few years old at NA, and the events are to build interest in the program and debunk misconceptions. Lena Rumpler says they can be pretty common playing a traditionally male sport in high school.
I think it's really important because it breaks the stigma that guys aren't the only ones that can be tough and strong, but girls can be just as strong as them and can do whatever they want to do.
No one knows shattering misconceptions quite like Kimberly Horikoshi, the guest speaker at Try It Night. Last year, she was crowned Miss International Beauty, but before that, she balanced her high school days as a wrestler and a cheerleader. Her platform during her pageant run warned against letting stereotypes limit girls and women.
Don't be afraid to try. Be bold enough to take chances on what you want to do and don't put yourself in a box.
She shared her experience both wrestling and cheering in 2004, when resources for girls wrestling were even less available than they are today. She pushed for girls wrestling to become a PIAA sanctioned sport. That message hit home for Rumpler.
It's just really inspirational to see that people before us have done it.
Though not every cheerleader may decide wrestling is right for them, many, including junior Angelina Franz, left Try It Night with a new appreciation for the team's mission and a commitment to help.
And I thought that they competed and that it was like official. And so hearing that it wasn't was kind of very like surprising. And it makes me want to like join and help just because it's so cool what all these girls are doing and they're putting in so much hard work to reach a goal.
As for Kim, she'll continue traveling the country, instilling in young girls the possibilities are endless.
It's so important to break those stereotypes. You can be beautiful and you can be tough and you don't have to choose one or the other.
There we go. Good stuff, Shelby. Lena Rumpler sounds like a badass.
She totally is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's killing it.
Just, I could just tell by her tone and her inflection and the way that she goes about this just from that story.
I think what they had said, and I might be wrong on this, but she had just started wrestling with the program. She didn't have any experience, and now she's one of the top wrestlers for her age in the country.
It's unbelievable. What is the sanction? I did read, if I'm not mistaken, and you may not know this answer, so I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm going to anyway. You're a reporter, so think on your feet. I think I recently read a story about the PIAA or the WPL or both sanctioning women's or girls wrestling moving forward in the very near future.
Yeah,
right?
That's the plan. I believe you have to have a certain number of teams in the PIAA, and they are close to doing that. They are only a handful of teams away from getting to that point.
Nice. Yeah, great story. Way to find it out and get down to the bottom of it. This is it's super more opportunity for everybody. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm all about.
And getting people together, like I said, cheerleading and wrestling, you would think those girls wouldn't have a lot in common, but they actually both go through misconceptions. People think cheerleaders are just kind of lame and flimsy and not strong, and, you know, that's not true. And, you know, same misconceptions can kind of go for female wrestlers. Their male counterparts often don't think they're strong enough. So really a lot of similarities that maybe they can bond over that they didn't realize before.
Back to the singing Thursday night, right? I can't wait for this. Are you not letting out of the bag the song that you're singing? Or
I haven't signed up for anything.
Okay.
Not a big public singer. I'll do it with someone. Okay. Like I'll do it as a duet.
But your husband says no way.
Yeah, he's definitely not a public
singer.
Like,
this is no, like, there's a 0% chance.
Yeah, I would say a negative 10% chance that he sings.
Is Paul Rasmussen going?
Not that I know of.
Why don't you try to get him into going?
I can definitely try when I get back.
I think he would be wonderful. If not, what about Donnie Football? You and Donnie Football would be a perfect couple.
I love that.
Honestly.
that didn't look too convincing. Yeah. Love that.
No, a Beauty and the Beast motif.
I appreciate that.
I think it would work. I'm not calling Donnie a beast, but he's a beefy big guy. And you know,
what if he wasn't a baritone? He just comes out.
A nice alto, yeah.
I think you could make that work. I think you and Donnie Football could bring down the house.
We'll see.
Uh-oh.
I don't know that I can pre-plan this. I'll get too nervous.
Well, that's what beer's for.
You're right.
There we are. There we
I feel
are.
Like everybody's nervous about this.
I know. Why? We're just singing.
Karaoke, it's fun. Nobody expects you to be good.
There's supposed to be, you know, thousands of people there, too. Get there. Check us out. Mike's Beer Bar Thursday
thousands
night.
Thousands of people.
That's
thousands.
What I hear. Yeah. Thousands of people. You're going to miss out if you're not there. Anybody listening?
It's a lot of socks.
That is a lot of socks.
Yeah, and
that's
it
great.
Is for a great cause.
It is for
so
a great cause.
Bring socks or $5 or both down to Mike's Beer Bar, 6 o'clock. Right there, right across from PNC Park. We'll be at Mike's Beer Bar singing. Shelby, I can't wait to see you there. You and Donnie Football
what
singing
if I bring
duet.
Extra socks
That's
to buy my way out of singing?
No. That would be a pony move.
It's a pony move, yeah.
Yep. No. You're singing.
Yep.
End of story. Hard stop or whatever the people say. Is that what they say? Hard stop.
Full stop.
Full but... stop. Hard stop. Either way. See how,
you got
cool,
it.
How chic I am. All right, we'll see you there.
Bye, guys.
Great stuff. Great story Thanks, from Shelby, too, about wrestling, that's for sure. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Great deal on a newer pre-owned vehicle. Great service, too. You'll find it at Sun Chevrolet. Rainy today, high in the upper 40s.
That's the weather.
Sure is. I've been telling you a lot about QC Kinetics. I mean, a whole lot about QC Kinetics. Well, they're there for you. You got joint pain? A lot of it. That's no good. Hip pain, shoulder pain, elbow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.